Well, it's good to see everybody today. Thank you so much for being here. It's good to see Miss Debbie Deacons back there. We're praying for her. I know she's going through some battles, of course. Keep her lifted up in prayer. Others aren't able to be with us for one reason or another with cancer. And so please keep them lifted up in prayer. And the Lord would certainly bless them. Also, I talked to Brother Stephen Gallion. We're praying for Joanna. She's in Ethiopia on that mission trip, medical missions outreach. And so their prayer request right now is to pray the Lord would help them as they're there in a high altitude for with altitude sickness. And so please keep them lifted up in prayer, the whole team, as they're there sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's a privilege to be back in church today, and we had a good crowd at 8:45, and we're thankful for those folks that joined us, but we're thankful for you being here. I'm just glad that folks gather around the Word of God, and as a matter of fact, that's what I want to preach on today is the Bible. It's our defense against apostasy, because if you don't have something that is solid, something that's rock, something that is unmovable, then you'll just sway from event to event and position to position. You've got to have something outside of yourself in order to keep yourself locked into the right place. And I trust that the Lord would bless us. And so I want to preach on that for a little while. And I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll look at verse number 10 down through 17 as you find your place in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 over in the New Testament. I did hear this story about a fellow that was, he was in court finally after an accident. It happened some months before. And he said that the lawyer was had him up on the stand, and he said, I'm gonna charge you. I'm gonna bring the proof that you are lying under oath." And the guy said, "I'm not." He said, "I'm gonna prove it to the whole crowd here." And the lawyer said, "Didn't you say on the day of the accident when that trooper asked you and questioned you, didn't you say that you were fine, you didn't have any medical needs, you weren't in distress?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "But now you claim that you still have a broken leg from that accident?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you're caught in the lie." He said, "I want you to explain yourself on that." And he was really going for the throat. He was really had him. This lawyer was really after him. He said, "Explain that." He said, "Well, here's how it happened." He said, "When I had that accident, I had a my car came in, but there was a cattle truck, and we collided, and the cattle truck chipped over, and the cows had come out of the truck. And then when I was there and I was hurt, I knew I was hurt." And that police officer, though, he went to that farmer that was driving that truck, and he said, "What's wrong with that cow right there?" He said, "He's got a broken leg." And so he pulled off his pistol off his side and shot him in the head with a 9mm. He said, "What's wrong with that cow?" He said, "He's got a broken leg." And so he pulled his pistol again and shot him in the head. He said, "We're not going to let these cows be suffering out here on the side of the road." And he said he did that to two or three more cows, and the same thing happened to them, broken leg, and he shot him. And he said, "So the trooper came over to me, and my leg was hurting like the dickens." And he said, "I knew for sure it was broke." He said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm fine." And there's how we have the difference in what I say now from what I said then. So always be truthful to police officers. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to again preach about this, the Bible, the defense for apostasy. If God would let me, I want to preach today and then next Sunday as well, about second Sunday morning, about this great topic about the Scriptures. Because in this day and age in which we live, there are so many variants of what people try to get you to pattern your life after, what you try to get you to live by, live on, live with. And the Scriptures says about itself that we need to focus or firmly plant ourselves on the Word of God. Verse number 10 of 2 Timothy 3. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that live godly will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." As I mentioned, I want to preach for just a little while today and hopefully next Sunday morning about the Bible, the defense of apostasy. Because look, if you will, in verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, the first recipient of this letter would have been young Timothy, a preacher boy. And the writer, humanly speaking, God used the Apostle Paul to write this letter to warn him of the coming apostasy. Well, if Paul was warning him then and that day that there was getting ready to get some bad times, what do you think now, some 2,000 years later, we're living in? We're living in those days that are categorized by that apostasy. And as I mentioned, we need something that's sure and steadfast, as a boat needs something outside of itself to anchor to, so that the waves don't take it where the waves want to, but the stays where the owner of the boat wants to. They need a rock bottom, something so that anchor can fit down on, sit down on, and hold it in place. Well, my friend, we need an anchor as well. And in this day when everybody has a different commentary on what's happening and everybody has ways that you ought to live and things that you should never do and always do, the scripture I want to present to you is where we ought to focus our life, steadfast our anchor to, so that we cannot be torn by every wind of doctrine. Father, bless us now is our prayer as we look into your word, about your word, and as we let it get into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story about a school teacher who had put most of all of her life savings in an investment. And in this investment, she sadly found out that after some time, all of her life savings was taken and squandered, and she figured out it was a scam. Somebody was taking advantage of people who weren't looking at the right facts, and they were looking at only what the company, the scam company, wanted them to look at. She went to the Better Business Bureau after the savings was gone, and they asked her a very unique question. Didn't you know about us before you invested your money? She said, oh yeah, I knew about the Better Business Bureau. He said, why didn't you come to the BBB so that we could tell you then what we knew and what you didn't, but how come you didn't come and let us instruct you and tell you that that was a fraud of a company? And she said this, I was afraid you'd tell me it sounded like such a good deal. I was so excited about the returns that they promised. I was afraid you would tell me not to do it. Now, in our world, we've got people that are staking much more than their life savings on some whimsical, flimsy securities, and they're in the balance is much greater of a risk, much more important things are in the balance, and that is their eternal soul. There are people that are betting on some cult, some false religion, some nothing. They'll just say, well, I don't believe there's anything out there. And sometimes people think that they say it loud enough and long enough and harsh enough that somehow that makes it true. But you understand, like I do, that it doesn't matter how loud you say a lie is still a lie. I wish I knew several languages so I could communicate with people, but I don't. And so when I meet people who speak a different language, I don't know why this is, and I don't know if you do the same thing, but I always say the exact same phrase again, except I say it louder. My name is... And then they still don't understand what I'm saying. No, my name is. Somehow we think that if we get louder about something, it's going to, oh, that makes it crash through. Now I understand what's just as unintelligible to them as what they're saying to me is. But somehow we think loudness gets it across. And there's a lot of loud voices in the world right now that are telling people how they should live, what they should put their faith in, or maybe put their faith in nothing. Just trust that this is all there is. And so I'm looking this morning at the Bible as it says, and we've got millions of people that are risking their eternal soul on some scheme of the devil, and they will find it just as horrible as that lady did in reference to her savings. But Timothy is told in this passage to trust the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he says. It's profitable for correction, for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness. And we understand that the Word of God is given to this young man. I want us to see a few things, if you would. I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 10, the proclamation that's made. the proclamation that's made in verse number 10. He says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. He says, you've known it all. You've seen me, Timothy, at my best, and you've seen me at my worst. And Timothy is being told and taught to stand where he is. And he's being told to stand that about the Scripture. Of all of those things that Paul said, you've watched me in my manner of life. You've seen me eat. You've seen me sleep. You've seen me around. He said, but the first thing, look at what the first thing that he mentioned was, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Have you seen all the other things? Paul lived a life like an open book before some preacher boys, Timothy, Titus. He lived like an open book. He's not the only one. The Lord Jesus Christ, he lived his life as an open book in front of his disciples. He ate with them. They saw him sleep. They saw him do miracles. They saw him on the days when people were cheering him. They saw him on the days when people were jeering him. But he was always before them. And what did he tell the people in the crowd that day? But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we understand that the doctrine that Paul knew is the same thing that Jesus Christ preached, and that was that he was the living word, and the word was living, and that's what we ought to live our life on. But Timothy was seeing the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul lived his life out in front of him. I think everybody in this room has done some dumb things before. But after you do it, you look around. And then you think, well, I'm off the hook. Nobody saw it. I was born in Wheeling, West Virginia. We lived in Wellsburg, West Virginia, which is in the northern panhandle of the state. And so we had a long driveway, gravel driveway in front of the church, which our house was behind. And so when I was 9 years old, I would drive down and get the mail. You say, oh, my goodness. Well, we did worse than that, but that's all we're going to say because this service is broadcast. But this was on private property, and so I would drive down there and get the mail because they were across the bridge down at Bethany Pike. And so I'd go down, get the mail, get back in the car, and I just thought we had a big old one of those big old third row. We were third row cars before third rows were popular. You know, you had the front row and then the middle row and then the throw-up seat in the back. That's not the name that the car company gave it, but that's what we gave it because whoever got in the back seat when you were facing backwards going down these bumpy roads, that's usually what you ended up doing, throwing up. And so I drove the car down there all by myself, and which I was allowed to. And so I drove down there all by myself, and I pulled back up, and I put it up in reverse. I was going back it into the spot that it went, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, I hit something. So I jammed it up in park, and I ran out there, and there was a little post there, a little pillar, and I looked at the pillar, I looked at the bumper. Neither one of them looked bad. I couldn't really tell, and I was looking right at where it happened. And so then I looked all around. Mom couldn't see me up the house. Nobody was looking down, so I pulled it back up and then parked in a spot. I put it up in park, and I left the keys in as we always did in those days, and then I just went away and never told anybody till today. So if Dad comes down sometime to visit, don't mention that, would you? But that's the way the Apostle Paul lived. He lived his life in front of these young preacher boys. He says, you've seen my doctrine. You've seen my manner of life. You've seen my afflictions. You've seen all of these things, the persecutions. You've seen it all. But what he put at the top of the things that Timothy got to observe was, you've seen my doctrine. And the proclamation is made that the Word of God is what Paul was so thankful that Timothy got to see. And he's thankful because in verse number 11, you'll see not only the proclamation, but the comfort that's given by that proclamation of the doctrine of the Word of God, because the comfort comes in verse number 11. He says, listen, Timothy, you've seen the persecutions, you've seen the afflictions, where they came unto me in Antioch, they came unto me Iconium, and Lystra, all of these things. We're looking at history in the making. In verse number 16, you know, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He's telling young Timothy the Scripture that he would have had at that point would have been the Old Testament. He said, Timothy, you've seen how these prophets were taken care of by God. You've seen how God protected his men in the Old Testament. You've seen all that. And then we're watching history in the making because God is using the Apostle Paul at this very moment to pen by inspiration of Holy Spirit, pen the words to young Timothy. He was given the New Testament, but the New Testament was going to be the same as the Old Testament in that it was going to show that God's always faithful. And what do I tell this crowd this morning? God is always faithful. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. But God is always faithful. I read a story of a conversation this pastor had with a trapeze artist. And the trapeze artist told the pastor, he says, yes, I know that the net down there, it keeps us from breaking our neck. But it does more than that. He said, it keeps us from falling. And the pastor was perplexed. And he said, what do you mean keeps you from falling? And he says, can you imagine? We use the net not only for safety, but we'll use it just to dismount. Sometimes we'll just fall and go on the net and let it get, and then we'll flip down off of there. The net is there for our safety, yes, to keep us from breaking our neck. But can you imagine being so high in the air, not having a net down there to protect you? Our minds would get overrun by the worry and the fear of what if we didn't make it. And it says our hands would perspire to the point that the powder that we put on them still wouldn't do any good. And we very likely would miss our mount or miss our dismount or miss the hands that somebody else was swinging over to us and likely fall to our death. And so not only does the net keep us from breaking our neck, but our net gives us peace of mind. It keeps us from falling. And I see in this passage that the Apostle Paul giving to Timothy, he says, this comfort that's given, I endure them all. Look at the end, last phrase of verse 11, if you would. But out of them all, A-double-L, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And just like that circus performer knows that that net is there as a safety for them, precaution for them, Paul tells Timothy, we've got the safety and the security of the Word of God. And I tell every blood-bought Christian in this room today that we've got the safety and the security of the Word of God. When I feel great and on top of the world, God is my helper. When I feel lonely and low and feel like you're so low you can crawl underneath that door without opening, God is still your Savior if you're born again. I'm saying this morning that He's our net. He's our protection. He's our rock. He is the comfort that we have in the Word of God, because God in His lofty, high, and holy self knew that us as human beings down here needed a glimpse of Him, and we needed the glimpse of His power. And we needed the glimpse of His ability, and we needed the glimpse of His security, and we are not holy enough to view Him. And so since we're not good enough or holy enough and we can't look upon Him, He gave us a book that we can look on every day. And this morning, the comfort is given from the Word of God. And it's a good thing it is given for the Word of God, because look in verse number 12, the prospect that given is not very good. Not only is the security listed in the Word of God and the proclamation and the comfort, but then look at the prospect of the believer in verse number 12 is pretty poor. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the prospect of the believer is not great. We need the safety net. We need the comfort. We need the strength, because wicked days are coming. I would love to tell everybody in this crowd that you are going to have a great week. I'd love to tell everybody that your roof is not going to leak this week. It doesn't matter how many rains come. It's not going to leak. I'd love to tell you that your car is going to run phenomenally this week. I'd love to tell you that you won't get a bad call from some person somewhere. I'd love to tell you all those things and more. I would love to tell you, like some of those televangelists, something good is going to happen to you today. But I don't know. But this I do know. Regardless of what happens, we need to build our lives on the Word of God. Amen. I've got in my study back here a little note just above my desk, and it says, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Do you know things come and go? There's people in this room, you're never going to believe this. There's people in this room that in your den, you used to have green shag carpet. You know who you are, you people, some of you all. If that wasn't bad enough, some of you had those burnt orange blended in with the yellows and browns and all of these unearthly, all those earth tone colors, and you had shag carpet so thick you could lose a child in there if you weren't careful. And then we went from shag carpet, we went to sculptured carpet, and the pile got a little bit lower, but then little designs through there. We went from that to a much lower plush carpet, and we went from that to a Berber carpet. We've gone everywhere. I used to lay carpet with a guy when I was in Bible college to make it through, and you know what we'd do oftentimes? We would take some old, ugly-looking color carpet, and we'd take that all up, and guess what we'd find underneath? Perfectly good hardwood floors. And what do you do now? We rip that up and we pay to have somebody come in and refinish, sand down and refinish those hardwood floors. But there was a day when you didn't do that. No, you wanted wall-to-wall carpeting. You didn't want a rug in the middle of the room, wall-to-wall. And fads come and fads go, and I'm not even going to get on some of the suits you men used to wear. collars out to touch both of your sides of your shoulders. A windstorm come and flap you away. You find you in the next county. Fads come and fads go. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have that carpet. I mean, it looks ugly and looks embarrassing now as you look at old pictures, but that's all right. But we can't build our lives on the fads and the whims of decorating. And those are just funny. There's nothing wrong with any of that, of course. But we can't build our lives on what people think is currently in. And can I give you something else we can't build our lives on? The things that spiritually, currently, people think are in. Because there's a big segment of society right now that says, I'm spiritual, but I'm not a Bible believer. I'm just a spiritual person. And we can get so consumed in whatever we think is right, and it's still a religion, a God, if you will, of our own making. There's been people all through the scriptures, they would make a God of their own liking. And if we're not careful, we'll pick and choose like we're going down through a buffet line and say, I like that and I like that, but I don't like that, I don't like that. No, not on that, any of that. Can I just challenge you as a Bible believer that you build your life upon this book? It's the Word of God. And in this day and age in which we live, where winds are blowing and waves are crashing, the only way that we'll have sanity and stability is to build your life on something outside of your life. Get anchored to something that's bigger and broader and more stable than you. And that, my friend, is the Word of God. You say, Pastor, I don't think you've given us very good news today about the society and all that's going on. My mom, as we grew up in West Virginia, we'd get cold in the wintertime. We had snow a few times a year. She'd say, it's cold outside, boys. I've got two brothers and a sister. It's cold outside. And she wasn't being a pessimist. She wasn't trying to ruin our fun. She wasn't trying to give us a bad day. But she would finish that statement by, it's cold outside, by saying this, now get your coats. She was trying to prepare us. And so what I'm telling you and me alike is this. It's wicked out there. Let's be prepared. Get your coat of the Word of God and live on it. It's cold outside. The apostate world is trying to get every person. You watch the news and you get a Bible believer sometimes interviewed on the news, and there's 13 reasons why people can laugh and mock at that archaic way of thinking that Bible believer put forth. Well, my friend, you just keep on believing what the Scripture says, because it is the Word of God, as he says in this passage. It got me through persecutions, verse 11, afflictions. They came unto me in Antioch, Iconium. I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And then he goes on to give you that pronouncement that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So this morning, we're here in this troubled world. with this blessed book in our hand, can I challenge you as your pastor to do a few things? If you're in the habit of taking notes, let me give you three. As we're living in this culture that we can't control, but God didn't tell us control it. He just told us to live by the book. Number one, commit your life to be a Bible Christian. Regardless of what happens, commit your life to be a Bible Christian. I'll be somebody that stands on the Word of God. You say, but people are saying that marriage is this and gender is this, and just come back kindly, graciously, lovingly, sweetly. Stand on the Word of God. Say, this is all I know to go by. Number one, commit to live your life as a Bible Christian. Number two, strive to get in its pages every day. Sometimes we're Bible believers, we say we are, but we're not Bible readers. I stand on the Word of God. How long has it been since I got in it? Because if I don't get in it, it can't get in me. Number one, commit to live your life as a Bible Christian. Number two, strive to get in its pages every day. And then number three, share the comfort that it gives to a troubled world. Can I just tell you, if you're listening here on the radio or you're here, as Christians, if you're born again, here's what you ought to be listening for as you live your day, as you go to your doctor's office, as you go to your neighbors, as you do this, that, and the other. We ought to be listening for some buzz phrase, catchphrases, I should say. I want to teach sometime soon here about our testimony and how we ought to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's some things that I will tell in that message, but I'll tell you today. We ought to be listening for some buzzwords when we're talking to people. Woo! I don't know about this old world. You know what? That's a perfect candidate or a perfect opportunity for you to say, I don't either, but I'm glad that Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Yeah. Something else when somebody says, I'm just really down. I lost my dad. I lost some family member. You know what? That's a perfect opportunity for a Christian to say, would you mind if I prayed for you? Put you on my list and prayed for you tonight. You say, well, that's not preaching to them. Oh, that's doing a whole lot of preaching right there. Amen. When you hear somebody say, man, this world's gone crazy. Can I just tell you that at that point you can interject and say, I'll tell you, one of these days somebody's going to straighten it out. And I know him. I'm not saying that you'll get an opportunity to give him the whole shebang. I'm not saying you'll get a chance to go into every verse that you've ever wanted to give about salvation. You may only have just a moment before they move on, but you can sure give a good word for the Lord because you've built your life on the Word of God, and we ought to share the comfort to this troubled world. The Bible. He said in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. If he made that prophecy back in the early days of the first century, What would we explain today as? Shall get worse and worse. They are worse and worse. But our job's still the same. The job of the pastor currently of this church is the same job as the first pastor in 1779. Proclaim the Word of God and Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, and coming again. And so the Bible is our defense for apostasy. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, with all that's in me, that you would help my friends that are sitting in front of me. Others are listening on the radio. Others are watching via live stream. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us anchor our souls down on the Word of God. Because, Lord, everything is coming at this crowd that I love. Everything is trying to rip them away from a foundation. And Lord, I realize if somebody's going to stand strong, they're going to have to do it intentionally. They're going to have to stay planted on the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us do that. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord, and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come this morning. Maybe you'd like to come and say, Pastor, I want to build my life upon the Word of God. I want to build my marriage on the Word of God. I want to build my family. Then the altar's open for you. Would you come and just pray? Maybe you need somebody to pray with. Maybe you don't. You just want to pray. And a Christian needs to build their life upon the Word of God. Sometimes it's popular, sometimes it is not. But we need to build our lives on it regardless. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not even sure. You talk about heaven, you talk about hell, you talk about Jesus Christ, you talk about salvation, but I'm not even sure that I am on my way to heaven. I'm not sure I have Christ as my Savior. There's so many questions. Brother Daniel is standing down in front of the pulpit I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be 100% sure from the Bible. Our church didn't come up with this. From the Word of God. It's just the salvation plan. And if that's you today, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come and let him or somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you are? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. There are several folks that say, well, I'm praying about that, Pastor. Maybe the Lord's already shown it to you. You like to come present yourself for membership. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're saved. You know the Lord, but you've never been baptized. But you'd like to do that. Then I challenge you to slip out and come. We'll do that in a service real soon. Whatever your need is, if it's to join this church, if it's to be baptized, certainly if it's to trust Christ as your Savior, or maybe you just need somebody to pray with you about any of those things, would you step out and come? As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy to have everybody here this morning. We thank God for what He's doing, and I want to announce to you that Brother Bob, Miss Allison Edwards have been dear friends for a long time now. They've been coming, and they're a blessing, and of course, Bob is the son of Bob Edwards, who was a member here for many, many years, and is such a blessing. Went on to be with the Lord, and so that's how we got to meet Bob and his wife Allison. And Bob was a treasured friend, and I certainly miss him. But we're thankful that Bob and Allison, they're saved, they're baptized, and but they feel led of the Lord that they would join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I couldn't be happier about that. And they've been going to do it for a while. We had to get Miss Allison out in one of those boots. She'd had that ankle injury, and so we're thankful that that they are here, and the Lord has led them in this, and we're certainly thankful for God adding to His church. And so so we just need a motion that that we accept them. Wow, Morgan Edwards is making that motion. Wow, that's his son. So motion is made by Morgan Edwards, second by Shannon Barker. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask them to stand right here by Brother Daniel and Miss Becca's over here. And you get by and shake hands with them and let them know that you're glad that they're here. We're certainly thankful for God doing that. What a wonderful cap to our morning. And we praise the Lord for that. Well, Brother Caleb, would you mind coming to the platform, pray and dismiss us in prayer? Ask the Lord's blessings upon everybody as they head out. And then I will slip back to the lobby and greet you. If you need anything, please stop by and we'll certainly have a good time together. Brother, pray for us.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to meet in your house today, Lord. And thank you for Pastor bringing your message today, Lord. We ask that you be with us. Please watch over us and keep us safe this afternoon. In your name we do pray and ask it. Amen.